Hello and welcome to What's Your Deal? This is the show where we read tarot for special guests to find out where they've been and where they're going. I'm your host, Ariana Lenarski, and with me today is cartoonist and author Jack Shokren.
Hi.
Hi, Jack.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Jack is an author of the book Things I Do But Just For You, which was an Oprah's book club selection. And I'm curious if you get to meet Oprah or engage with her in any way if you have
no.
that.
No, I got an email basically saying that it was from my editor. So there were like at least three or four levels between me and Oprah. Basically saying like, your mom's dreams came true and your life will only get worse from here. But yeah, I did not get to meet Oprah, but I did find out by telling people in my life that a lot of people that I know have met Oprah and have Oprah stories.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, well, that's cool that you have that better
that's
thing.
But was there random, I hope? Like maybe they just ran around. They weren't selected.
They were mostly
Oprah.
Random.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
The universe put it together. It wasn't Oprah.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Yes.
That's different. That's not as good.
She didn't choose them.
Right. And you said your book also, you heard that it helps people get engaged.
Yes. So it's happened multiple times now. I think three times where someone has reached out and said, I love your book. Me and my partner read it all the time. The first couple said, we read it to each other once a month.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, that is the sweetest thing I've ever heard. And basically, people have reached out and said, can you help me propose to my partner? And so, yeah, the first time it was new ground. And so I was like, absolutely, I would love to. Let's figure this out. And so I drew her proposing to her partner and gave her a print of it and slipped it in the back of a copy that I had signed. And I literally wrote blank, this other, this, your partner loves you so much. And I basically just wrote exactly what they wanted me to, but I basically proposed for them.
Wow.
And it was a wild experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing recently where Mark McGrath was hired to dump someone?
No.
You know who Mark McGrath is, right?
Yeah. Sugar Ray.
You know how they do Cameo and stuff like that?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I feel like there's some utilitarian aspect of that
yeah.
he probably didn't expect to
I thought that, like, I remember thinking that as a joke a couple years ago, that it'd be funny if, as a reality show, a joke reality show, that celebrities come and do hard things for you.
Ooh, yeah.
Like,
I love that.
Quit or
open a jar. I would love to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar open a jar for me. Oh, that'd be a delight.
I did that recently with Chelsea Peretti. I was telling you this last night. Where I called her and I asked her for advice about if I should tell someone that I like them or not.
Yes.
And then she was like, yeah, you should. On her podcast. And I was like, all right. And I did it.
Oh.
But it didn't turn out. It didn't work out.
Well, you got to put the cards on the table.
Yeah, that's, sometimes. Well.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
So do you know anything about tarot outside of just us being friends? Like that?
My history with tarot is having grown up in a very religious house that both my parents are pastors and church planters. And
what's a church planter for?
Church planter, I know, yeah. It's a very industry specific term. Basically, my parents helped start churches all around the world, basically, mostly before I was born, a few since I was born, but they're just very good at like starting churches and getting momentum and then being like, all right, you all are good.
Wow.
And they've done it, I guess, I want to say like 15 cities. Like they did it in Norway before I was born. My sister was born there. And yeah, so.
What sect of Christianity or church?
I think the closest, I mean, we always say non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really religious anymore, but yeah, non-denominational. I always tell people cool church, like like don't just wear whatever, like shorts and sandals church if you're feeling it. They had a very wide diversity of people coming in, and
they had an anti-tarot slant. Okay.
It's kind of a weird dichotomy of kind of being a slightly radical, sort of lefty Christian family, at least compared to the rest of Christianity or the conservative side. And then my parents didn't let me play role-playing games when I was a kid because they thought that it would be used to kind of like direct my thinking in different ways. And
how did they even find out what they were, though? Like, how did they sort of?
Oh, I'm sure my mom like heard from one of the other homeschool moms that that it was a thing. And yeah, basically any video game where you had to like think as the player, my mom didn't want me to buy. And then, you know, I was
last. So she kind of blocked you also from being like a huge nerd.
A little bit, yeah. She's like, oh, that's nerd shit, Jack. Please don't. In a weird way. And so tarot was kind of an extension of I think it was, my parents just didn't understand very much about it. And so it was kind of seen as magic or like, you know, dealing where you shouldn't be, or just, it felt like a dark corner of the world that they weren't familiar or comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And so anytime tarot would come up, my mom would kind of tense up and be like, that's Satan's work. Or basically. And now I'm, as an adult now, I'm realizing like, okay, so we're taught in that religion that Satan has no power over you, but also Satan's working and trying to get you to do stuff. I don't know.
Were you allowed to read, like, also, you know the devil's in tarot, right? Are you aware that the...
Cards?
Yeah, one of the cards is the devil.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I got it one day and I was like, what? And then someone was like, oh, it's actually fine.
So were you allowed to read, like, Harry Potter?
Surprisingly, yes.
Oh, well, how'd that get around Satan? Because your mom liked Harry Potter.
I think it was because it was really popular. And it was a kid's book with like a fun cover. Mm-hmm. And all my friends were into it. If all of my friends were into tarot, and like the world was like, if they talked about tarot on the Today Show, uh-huh. I'm like, oh, the kids are doing it. Yeah. Oh man, Oprah or Dr. Phil. My mom would probably have turned the tide. And also, I was the last kid of three. I have two older sisters. And so they were way more protective of them. And then as I got older, it very rapidly became a hands-off situation.
Mm. Interesting. So you didn't have it as harsh as your older sisters, probably. They remember a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But I still did get some weirdness, especially when I was homeschooled for like 2 years in middle school. My mom suddenly like was taking me to like a homeschool co-op and meeting all these other homeschool families. And it was just, yeah, some weird ideas. I literally was taught a class by another homeschool mom who was explaining to us that evolution is fake and scientists are like grinding down human skeletons to make them seem like we're related to apes, and that there are grind marks. And luckily I got out of there, but that was on the fringe of what my upbringing was, for sure.
So now what's your barometer now for trying to figure out, do you feel like that's affected you very strongly in terms of trying to determine what is real and what's not real? Like, what's your inner barometer now for, are you just kind of like, I don't know?
I'm so much more loosey-goosey about stuff now. And, I think where I'm at now is like, okay, I believe in like energy and we can put energy out there, whether it's good or bad. And, I think that we're all kind of part of the same, you know, wavelength, the greater wavelength of the universe. You know, it's just kind of, I'm getting like very, I feel
like
I'm getting very.
You sound like a Los Angelino.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You subscribe
talking about energy
to just,
and wavelengths.
Yeah, yeah. You're in LA, now you believe in the LA vibe.
Yeah, basically. I think everything's connected and,
yeah.
You know, like, what is it, like an atom basically represents, is shaped like the solar system.
In it a way. Is?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's like a core and things revolving around
it.
Okay,
okay.
I think that if that isn't like a one-to-one comparison, that's at least how I feel about it.
Right.
It's like the big is the small and we're all one in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, well, I guess we were like slightly talking about that last night. I thought this was really interesting. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with me talking about this with your dad.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking last night that your dad died on the operating table and came back to life.
Yes.
Yes. And something that was really interesting that you said that when he died, you said that he heard every voice in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking as one.
Yep. Yeah. I need to reread his book about it. It's called The Day I Died by Steve Shogren. Plug. Shout
okay,
out, Dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, he basically like had a conversation with what he understood to be God, and it was the voice of everyone in the world. And when he came out of his coma at the end, he just was saying big, 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 big.
Whoa.
And he said it was so loud that it just was like overwhelming. And yeah.
So he had actually died during a surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
For 7 minutes he was dead.
He was dead for 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was 7 years old. It was in 1997. 'Cause seven is the most powerfully magic number. yeah. And
wow. So he had died and then went into a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He died and then a stereoscopic device was mispiloted in his operation and it punctured both sides of his aorta at somewhere in his body, and he bled out and died on the table. And basically they like pumped him full of three times as much blood as we normally have, and that somehow brought him back to life. But he was saved by another team of doctors who came in later that actually was, yeah, that's another part of the crazy story, is that my sister's best friend's dad kind of came in and saved the day. He's like a surgeon at her, like at another hospital. So
that she had facilitated, right?
She like kind of was like, yeah, like, can your dad come in here and save my dad's life? And then it worked out. And yeah, some wild shit.
Wow. I didn't know that that's what he said when he came out, the big, big, big.
Yeah.
Just like recited that over and over again.
Yeah. And that totally fits in with how I see the world now, you know. Just everyone is, it's just, yeah, we're all kind of one in a way.
I feel like that was something I understood on a really, I feel like maybe I've talked about this on here before, maybe not, on a really deep level when I got like stoned one night and was in the bathtub and was like, oh my God, I get it. Like, I get it. I see, like, I understand how we're all one. Mm-hmm. And I felt extreme ecstasy, which I assume would be like what Nirvana would feel like or something like that.
Yeah, it sounds like.
It felt like it very much.
The band.
Yeah, it sounded like, yeah, exactly.
Were you reading the Dr. Bronner's label? All one? And it's like just
like,
a really long rant about all of us being one. Is that possible?
He's so smart for that.
Dr.
Like,
Bronner?
That's like such a smart tactic to advertise in a bath, in the shower.
Is Dr. Bronner a person? A man?
I think he's a real person.
Hmm?
I think.
PhD?
Some
weird shit.
He probably tacked that on at the front.
Sure.
A doctor of soap.
Yeah, soap doctor.
But I feel like... he seems like the kind of guy that's probably dead and his kids are carrying on his message.
Yeah,
we
sure.
Could maybe look it up.
Or maybe he was never alive. Maybe he's a Dr. Pepper of sorts.
Oh, is there no Dr. Pepper?
You know what? that. I don't know. Hmm. Well,
let's take a guess. We'll take a guess.
Was there a Sergeant Pepper
during the break? Oh, okay. I'm gonna say there's no Sergeant Pepper. I'm gonna say there's no Dr. Pepper. I'm gonna say there is a Dr. Bronner. That's gonna be my guesses.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think that's a safe assumption. Yeah.
Okay.
I think
you're
gonna
go with me.
That's what I would. Yes.
Okay.
I bet Dr. Bronner was involved in the way that Bert was involved with Burt's Bees, like at the very beginning, and then got like tossed out of his company because he was like so radical in his ways. This is a whole separate story. Yes. I think there's like a documentary about it that I've literally only heard described to me. So, basically, he just wanted to do it so grassrootsy that like the capitalism side of owning a business kind of came in and like bit him in the ass.
Because he
actually
kicked
him out.
He didn't want. Oh, he didn't never wanted it to be capitalist.
I think so.
And then it
yeah.
spiraled out of control because his product was so good.
Yeah.
I've heard that they put things in Burt's Bees to make your lips inflamed so that you keep needing more.
I've heard that too.
Yeah. Do you think it's an urban myth?
I think it's an urban myth. I think it's like a homeschool mom myth. It's like, you know, they put fiberglass in there, right? You know that Fig Newtons have wasp eggs in them, don't you?
Was that another one that you
yeah.
read? Oh my God.
Even though it's like the most homeschool treat I can think of. Fig Newtons.
Yeah, what are the
the most boring yeah,
really
food
like,
possible.
They're pushing back against their like, why do moms go for that? My mom was yeah. like that too. She was like, Fig Newtons, yes.
Fig
finally
Newtons.
The treat for my child.
Yeah. It's the denim dress of foods.
My grandmother was super conspiracy theory, like, we've never landed on the moon.
Whoa.
I'm not buying a fucking dryer. I'm going to put my clothes out on the line.
What?
And
wait, what does that have to do with the
oh,
conspiracy?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't know what her thought process was behind it. She was just, like, in 1950 till 1990, like, and so my mom got sick of it and bought her a microwave, finally. Mm-hmm. Which she like hid as far as she could, like back in the pantry. And then when my mom came to see if she was using the microwave, she opened it and it was just full of Fig Newtons. And that's what she was storing. She was just using it as storage
wow.
space.
I love that the microwave is like the one thing out of all that can actually hurt you. Like,
wait, it can?
Like, let's just put it in our house. Well,
wait,
I mean,
can
if
microwaves
you,
hurt you?
If you put your head close to it, I'm sure it's not good for you.
No.
Just the microwaves, the tiny little...
Wait.
Just, I think that exposure to microwaves, I think the person that invented microwaves or something like got cancer in some way or
Are
something
you serious?
Like that. Yeah, it's kind of like a Madame Curie situation where like the thing they were studying kind of came in. And wow,
wow.
We're talking a lot about that. People that whose creations
destroyed them.
Destroyed them.
Wow.
There's a whole Wikipedia article about
just
that.
Just like God.
Way. Just like God.
Creations destroyed him. Us humans, we killed God. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to read the tarot of Jack Shogren.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to What's Your Deal? We're going to read the tarot for Jack Shogren. First, Annalise is going to tell us the answers to whether there is a Dr. Pepper, a Dr. Bronner, and a Sergeant Pepper.
Okay. I also got Dr. Scholl up, too.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Dr.
Yeah, we were
Scholl.
Talking about Dr. Scholl.
Okay. So the Dr. Pepper one is a bit of a mouthful. Let's see if we can unpack all of this. So the answer on Google that was given to me was a pharmacist named Charles Alderton created Dr. Pepper in 1885. Alderton worked at a drugstore in Waco, Texas, owned by a man named Wade Morrison. Legend has it that Morrison named it Dr. Pepper after the father of a young girl he was once in love with.
Which is really weird.
Wouldn't you name it after the girl?
Yeah.
I mean, that would also be creepy, but it would make more sense, right?
Was she a doctor, though? is the question.
That's true. But why does she need to be a doctor to create a yummy soda?
Hmm.
That's my question.
Little girl Pepper.
Little girl Pepper. Somehow much worse.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Dr. Pepper. Wow. Dr. Bronner.
Wait, so real. Dr. Pepper real.
Dr. Pepper, the term Dr. Pepper, I feel like this is a little bit legendary.
Hmm.
Legend has it that he went.
Oh, legend has it. So not real.
Unsure.
Ugh, I hate that. Okay.
Not sure.
All right. So
Dr. Bronner was a real person.
Okay.
Born Emmanuel Heil Bronner. He was alive from 1908 to March 7th, 1997.
Oh, he's dead. I called it. Dead man.
87. Yeah. 7 is the most magical number.
Was the maker of Dr. Bronner's magic soaps. He used product labels to promote his moral and religious ideas, including in the goodness and unity of humanity. I've always wondered if he was actually sketchy, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. Based on a cursory glance at Wikipedia, which is always great.
Yeah.
And then there was no real Sergeant Pepper.
Okay, so we did good.
And then right? Dr. Scholl was a real person.
Dude, right? A dude?
A dude.
Okay,
yeah,
a dude.
Wow. Not a father of a young lady. So.
Hmm.
There are all your answers.
Thank you.
Wow,
so
thank you so much.
We did well.
Yeah.
There was no way we could have guessed that Dr. Pepper was...
was a little girl's dad. Do you think his first name was Pepper? Because her last name would probably be Pepper as well.
I know, that'd be such not slick. Like, it's not slick at all, actually. The whole thing was not slick of
him to do. Dr. Pepper Sanders. Doctor. Oh, well, cool. Good to know.
Okay, so we got it. We figured it out. So, Jack, what would you like some guidance about today via the universal consciousness?
Let's see. So
shuffle these cards while you think about
yes. So is the question like, what do I have going on in my life, or
well,
guidance in general?
If you seek the devil, you're flashing the devil at me as we speak.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. God bless you. Yes, you can ask about guidance for your future. You can ask about a question from the past. You can have a chat with the deck and see what it says to you. You could say, what do you think I should ask about, deck?
I would love that.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Do you want to do that?
I've always done it where I'm like, let's talk about this week. But I want to hear what the deck has to say.
Okay, so we'll have a convo with the deck. So what I'll have you do... Okay.
I'm really bad at shuffling cards. Cool.
That's great. Okay, so let me... keep flashing the devil at me.
Okay, I'm going to stick it right back in the middle.
Okay, I'm going to say a brief prayer over these cards before we get started, and then we'll just have a convo and see what it has to say.
Great.
Okay, so we're asking, Deck, what do you think Jack should, like, ask about, think about? What should Jack have guidance about? The deck says, first card. Oh, that's so interesting.
It's just a Pokemon card. What? Wait, is it? Should I not turn it upside down?
You could flip it. It's okay. The Six of Cups. It's such... Actually, maybe it's interesting because it's reversed. The Six of Cups is usually actually about childhood. It's about children. It's about true love in a lot of ways. It's the sweetest card of all. It's like it's the card that kind of promises that there's no hidden intentions necessarily. Like there's no deeper hidden agendas, basically.
Wow.
It's very sweet. Whenever I see it, I feel really comforted because it seems to say, you can trust the situation. Like, don't worry. Like, this is okay. Like, you can trust the situation, basically. When it's reversed, it is sometimes about nostalgia. It's about not seeing things as they actually are, the past as it really is, if that makes sense. Mm. Like, nostalgia of the past.
Like, sugarcoating the past? Uh-huh. Okay.
Or longing for a time that never was, basically.
I've never done that.
What'd you say?
I've never done that. Sorry. I know exactly what's happened in the past. No, I definitely, yeah, I can relate.
Sure. That's not a super clear answer to me unless you're drawing something immediately from it.
I mean, the first version of that card, I feel deep in my bones a lot. Like that's what I want to inhabit in mm-hmm. my life
yes.
in general.
Yes. Like
just like open book. I want to be like, I talked to my therapist a lot about, she calls it me wanting to be the good boy, which is like, you know, very possibly like Freudian or something, but uh-huh. I just have this like need in my bones to like be good.
And, interesting.
Like oh. I want to be like pure and just a force for good.
That's so interesting. Okay. Let's, that seems related to me, especially because it's reversed too, because that would show that you feel as though it's not that, I don't know. There's something surrounding that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull a clarifying card and see if we can see what else it does too. The peaceful card. Interesting. I'm pulling the Four of Swords, the Ten of Swords, and the reversed Four of Cups. So, so I guess I'm looking at this as like the question being like, what is goodness? Like that seems to be the question of your life, I guess.
Sure.
Right?
Like, I mean,
what is it to be good?
Yeah, let's go right. with that.
Does sure. that seem? Does that seem?
I think it's more. Yeah, I think it's like what is at my core? What is good to me? What is what I am striving for? Because I can feel it when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I sometimes it's hard to find it when you're like in a rut or something.
Yes,
so like hard to identify and draw out mm-hmm. sometimes.
The feeling of doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Like this
sure.
sort of like deep desire, like I really want to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I think it's something that people struggle with sometimes where people want, you know, everyone feels, I'm not going to like put a totally broad blanket on it, but you think you're a good person. I know some people are like, I'm a bad person. I don't feel it. But there's like this hope that you are good. And the sort of like hope that if you're a good person, then you won't do any wrong.
Mm.
Like if that makes sense. You won't make a mistake.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, if you're centered and
yes.
on the right path and
yes.
you won't end up anywhere that you don't want to be.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to be good so that I don't fuck things up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem like?
I think for me, it's I want to be good so that I can, like, I grew up with my mom telling me this thing that her dad always told her, which is like, leave it better than you found it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of like written on my heart a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds very like Tikkun Olam, heal the world.
Whoa.
Type stuff.
I don't know about that.
It's the I only know it through Mr. Rogers because you like said it in
yes. Okay, well that's
your
all I need to know.
Your face just got like yeah. you just like completely lit up when I
he's my dude.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah,
he's kind of my dude too. I'm very like, yeah. how did he do that? Like,
that's that card to me,
Mr. Like, Rogers.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
very
pure...
much. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Not just my dude. I want to say I feel very like I know that. He's the world's
He's
dude.
Everyone's
yeah.
dude. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know.
I don't.
The personal is the universal. He's
yeah.
ours.
Of course.
But Tikkun Olam is the, it's like from the Jewish idea that basically what you're saying, leave it better than you found it, like heal the world. There's this responsibility to heal the world, essentially,
mm-hmm.
which I think he mentioned. I think it was after 9/11 because they came up to him and were like, how are we going to explain this to kids? And that's he presented that in the first show that he did after 9/11 was mm-hmm. the concept of Tikkun Olam. I think that's where that famous, like, look for the helpers.
Look for the helpers,
that,
yeah.
That was that pit, which now has been like run around so many times. It's right. Like
there's
cliche.
Like memes with like minions, like look for the helpers.
Like really?
Yeah. Taz.
Yes. So how to achieve that, right? Like that's the question.
Sure.
At hand. Yeah. How to always be in line with that kind of idea.
How can I like charge it and put it in my heart like
yes.
Like a gem. Mm-hmm. An Iron Man.
Like Iron Man?
Like Iron Man.
Does he have a what's in his hand? His heart?
I think he has like the Tesseract in his heart. Or that like is keeping him alive. That's like a pure, I don't know why I brought up Iron Man, but just kind of like a charged rock that's like in his core that's replacing his heart. That is like a force of, I guess, justice in the way that he uses it. But
I didn't know that.
I never think about it. And I don't know how it just came to my mind.
I'm probably going to look it up because I'm curious about Tesseracts also.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. Yeah.
I'm going to pull one more card to see. Wow, it's showing so many reversed cards that you see when... So it's basically... Okay, so it showed reverse Six of Cups, which is looking like, what is Tikka Molam? What is finding this? And then it showed Four of Swords, which is like the meditative card that you see when you like withdraw and take a break and try to like prepare for the next cycles of your life, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a peaceful card that asks you to try to do some restoration, heart, you know, mind, body, and soul.
Sure.
Basically. And then the cards that it showed reversed are the ones I often see when you basically allow yourself to let go. It's like the three biggest let go cards, I would say, on small levels. For the mind, the heart, and the body, sort of, like the deeper body level stuff, has the reverse Ten of Swords. So it shows anxiety falling away, basically. Because normally when this is upright, it's very much like, looks like this guy is dead. He's being stabbed by ten swords.
There's a man with like ten swords in his body.
Yes. And he's lying face down, obviously, looks dead.
Right.
But it usually ends up being the kind of like melodrama card because it's like, do you really need ten swords in your back? Like, no, probably not.
Probably one is enough.
It's usually like a response to your problems rather than the problems themselves, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And it's swords, which represents the mind. So it's usually like your anxieties. Mm-hmm. So there's the release of that when it's reversed. It's like all the swords falling away. Then with this guy, Four of Cups, this is the card you see when you're in emotional hydraulics and you're like obsessing about stuff in your heart. And this guy is sitting under a tree with his arms folded and he's staring at these three cups. He can't seem to stop thinking about them, basically. Maybe they didn't give him what he wanted. Maybe he's hungover or something. And then there's this little cloud that's coming along with another cup for him. But he can't look up and see this miracle, basically.
Right.
That's floating towards him. So when that's released, when that's reversed, that's coming out of the emotional cycle that you get caught in. So the first one is like the anxious mental cycle. Second one is the emotional cycle of returning to this comforting emotional place over and over again. And then the last one, this one's really tough. I've always struggled with this one. Four of Pentacles, where it shows this king that's contracted tightly around these coins. One is on his head, on his hat. And he's got two under his feet, and he's clutching another one in his arms, even though there's this big kingdom behind him. And I always say that he's a king that doesn't realize he's a king and is still stuck in this kind of like survival mode. And it's usually actually about money. It actually usually is about feeling like you don't have enough, always feeling like you don't have enough. And so you have to cling to what you have because you just simply don't think you can give because you need it for yourself, basically. And so when that gets reversed, then it's trusting more that, especially when it comes to money, that things, money comes and goes, and that's a part of it's like a flow like anything else. And it doesn't, it's not good to, not quote good to, for your soul to clutch and cling, basically. So to me, it's sort of like meditating on how these three things, like getting out of the melodrama, the victim complex as the swords, being brave enough to go into unknown places emotionally rather than returning to old feelings.
Wow.
And having more trust in your own ability to spend your material resources in a way that's going to like create more wealth, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things are related in terms of continuing to expand your ability to make the world a better place.
Wow.
Does that make sense at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. yeah. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. Can you go over the second card again really quick?
I think this was... the second card is the Four of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lying down. He looks almost dead. He looks like he's in a tomb. He looks like
his hands are tented.
His hands are tented. To me, this felt...
Which means he's not dead, right?
He's not dead. He's fine.
Cool.
He's taking a nap.
Phew.
To me, it was like the deck was saying, okay, well, let's meditate on this. It seemed to be like an actual just like, okay. Let's think about this. These are the things to think about.
Wow.
I seemed to be saying, hey, Jack, these are the concepts to think about before moving into the next cycle of your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it sort of seemed like it was saying to me. Because this card is what, it's like quietly preparing for the next cycle, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to be the things. And then I'm going to see what comes after that.
This is really wild. Do you want to hear feedback so far?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, tell me.
Because I'm totally going into a new cycle of life because my wife Hallie and I just got this exciting contract of like doing animation and working together for the first time for our bread and butter job, you know. And we've never done it before. And there's been some trepidation of like, can we work together without this like imploding our marriage? And I think that...
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that is then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's... And it's for like this amazing cause, this mental health resource for teens, which I feel like is making the world a better place. It's kind of leaving it better than you found it. Mm-hmm. And
then that's what this reversed children. Yeah. Oh,
it's crazy.
I didn't even think about that. So that's what the reverse Six of Cups is, the children who are having issues because it's reversed.
Wow.
Right? Oh,
I love that.
There you go.
And like the last three cards are like anxiety, emotional cycles, and letting go of fear of not enough. Like that is like fully where I've been like in coming to terms with this new opportunity that's been kind of airlifted into our lives. And it's just lovely. I'm so happy to be where I am. And this is like a very positive, affirming spread then.
I wonder, I'd like to pull a card to see if there can be something to, because it's all very well to be like, just let go of your anxieties and emotional cycles and like worries about money, like just do it.
Right.
But I wonder if there's a card that can show you, can be a guide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask.
Sure.
Is that, like, what could be a guide during this time?
Yeah.
Do you remember? reversed King of Swords. So when the King of Swords is reversed, he is a real asshole. He's really mean. Mm-hmm. Like, he just basically doesn't give you any mercy, essentially. He's like a merciless figure. He's totally cut off from his heart in some ways. I don't think this is your guide. I think it's probably getting him in balance. When he's upright, he seeks impartiality so that... Impartiality? Is that the word? He's impartial so that he can make just decisions. But that doesn't necessarily... That doesn't necessarily mean not honoring your feelings or something like that. It's just more... I think the King of Swords is here to tell you to act in a way that cuts through illusions of any kind.
Hmm.
that can come up when you know, emotions get activated, old emotions get activated. I think it could also be, it's funny because we were talking like slightly about your dad earlier. Sometimes the Risk King of Swords is stuff from the past about your dad, that stories that your dad told you that gets caught in your head. So that can be partially like releasing some of those older stuff, if that makes sense.
Cool.
Am I have that right? I'm asking the deck if I have that right. Yeah, for sure. So it has the reverse Hierophant, reverse Chariot. Cool. I love it. Okay, reverse Emperor. Oh my God. Wow, this is such a strong thing. Okay, it's just, wow. You got the four cards that say over and over and over. So it's reverse King of Swords, reverse Hierophant, reverse Chariot, reverse Emperor. It's like saying in huge letters, you won't be able to control what's coming. Like, do not try to control us in ways in the past. Don't think that old structures, don't think that the structures that have been laid out before you are going to, like, get you through this time. This is a totally new place. I think it might have to do with your dad, because the Hierophant is very much about the church, actually. He's the ultimate, like, figure for things where you sacrifice your individuality for the group, basically, which is a lot about, like, churches and stuff like that, doctrines. Reverse Chariot is just letting go of your will, pushing you through to things. And Emperor also is the archetype for father and the structures that have laid out before you. I just think that to see all these four together and look how stern they all look, it's like four men looking really like determined. That there is something about you creating your daily life that's going to look different from anything that you have done in the past or what anyone has told you is a good idea.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
The way that you are going to structure your habits and your sense of discipline is going to have to suit you in particular. And you're not going to be able to logic it out. You're going to have to feel it out.
Wow.
Sort of, it's like a little vague, but
yeah,
I think that's going to be related to the struggles of that. It'll usually be if you have trouble letting go of these past things over the next couple months or whatever, it's very, the most important thing to do will be to take a step back and just not try to force anything, which is, like, I guess good advice in general, but for you in particular, having often been close to, quote, ways to do things, like, most of your life, you know what I mean? Like, you've always been close to, things have been set up, there's a path to follow, should you want to, do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's kind of going out the window, I think.
Wow.
For you.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I love that.
It's very interesting.
Especially being a PK pastor's kid.
For sure. I can't believe it was reversed Hierophant came up. Wow. And all the daddy dad cards.
This looks like four dads in a row.
There are four dads in a row.
And one of them's just literally a picture of my dad. So
it is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's
just like, let daddy go. No more daddy. So then who? Answer me. Like, I feel like the deck's not answering me. He's only like, here's what you don't do. Don't do that. It's like, where's the... Aw, there she is. Aw. Queen of Cups. That's your... She's your gal. She's completely tuned into the emotional world. She signifies emotional mastery. Wow. I don't know why it was so like, get rid of dad. I mean, like, not literally. I'm saying your dad, but it's actually more just like...
The...
Father of capital dad. F. The royal dad. Royal dad. And instead, focusing on thinking and feeling with great emotional compassion for yourself.
Wow.
Little, it's different from acting. It's more, quote, seems more passive.
Passive in what way?
Like, more like appreciation rather than having to feel like you have to do, quote, do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cool. Yeah.
I like that. It might appear passive to outsiders, but it's the way that, like, a garden that's growing appears passive when really things are, like, growing underneath and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cool. Or like a duck's feet or whatever.
Yes. Under the water. That's a really good way to think about it. And that's what the Queen of Cups is like.
I love that. Also, she's like ready to go to a coffee shop with her reusable mug. Her reusable ornate.
You're insane. She actually made that cup herself.
Yeah.
She's super proud of it.
It looks like a religious artifact.
Yeah.
And if you brought that into a coffee shop and like, can I get a cappuccino in here? Just a flat white maybe? Yeah. I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. I'm so happy about that. Wow.
Me too.
I love it.
Thank you so much for letting me pull a spread for you today.
Thank you.
How can people find you online if they care to? If they want to.
Yeah. So my main online presence is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And my handle is at Sjogren Jack. And that's Sjogren Jack. And yeah, I post all my comics there. And I also do like a biweekly comic for Hyperallergic and some like art horoscopes for them. And that's been really fun.
You do art horoscopes?
I do art horoscopes. That was the one. One time I texted you and was like, what's the deal with the current sign?
Oh, you're trying to get insider info.
Well, it was more like, I want to be not stupid about this. Because like before I had literally just been making up stuff and I was like, maybe this can be vaguely helpful to anyone. So then I Venmo'd you $5 for the wisdom of the stars.
Yes.
Which was...
Wow. Yeah. I have to check those out. Well, thank you so much, Jack. And again, if anyone out there is listening, they want to get a tarot reading, you can contact me at dreamcitytarot@gmail.com. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next time.